Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why didn't she pay you? Did you guys have a problem? Put your hand down. I'll get to you. When I get to you, what do you not know how court works? First the plaintiff speaks, and then you respond. You don't get to, bobblehead the whole time and raise your hand like you're like,
you'll have to yell at me.
This is the plaintiff, Wilda. She says the defendant, her next-door neighbor, borrowed speakers from her, agreed to buy them from her, and no matter what she does, she can't get her to pay for them. The woman has lost her mind because now she's harassing her, threatening her with weapons, and banging on her door at all hours of the night. She's suing for $3,060, $60 for the speakers and $3,000 for harassment. This is the defendant, Katia Bonamy. She says the plaintiff gave her the speakers as a gift. That's right, she showed up at 11 in the morning one day and just gave them to her. Next thing she knows, the cops are banging on her door, saying the plaintiff told them she stole the speakers. She's sorry, but she thinks her one-time friend has a screw loose or something, because being dragged into court over this is downright crazy. She's accused of speaking her mind.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
What you are about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with a case pending in civil court. Both parties have agreed to drop their claims and have their cases settled here before Judge Marilyn Million in our forum, the People's Court.
Be seated. Come to order, please. Litigants have been sworn, Your Honor.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome.
Okay. Wilda, you've asked us not to mention your last name. You're suing your neighbor, Katia Bonamy, for $3,060. $60 of it money she owes you and the $3,000 for harassment. Tell me what happened.
Yes, ma'am. She breached a verbal agreement that we had towards a speaker that she've taken from me.
How did that happen that you gave her the speaker?
I purchased the speakers personally for me. While I was not home, she knocked on the door to ask my daughter, you know, like if she could have seen and try out the speaker to see if it was.
How did she even know they existed?
Because she used to come in and out of my apartment.
Were you friends?
Her daughter and my daughter were kind of, you know, like friends.
Okay.
But not, you know, age-wise, because my daughter is 12 and her daughter is 5.
Okay.
And the speakers are Bluetooth speakers, you know, like they work with phones. So she asked my daughter if she could have taken it to her apartment to see if it would work because she wants to buy one.
Okay.
When my daughter told me that over the phone, I told her no, I wasn't home to wait for me, you know, for when I come back. My daughter called me back on the phone. She said, please, you know, Miss Katia is a very nice lady. You know, I play with her daughter. You know, like just lend her the phone, you know, speaker because she's going to return it. She just want to test to see if, you know, her
phone
works.
Why can't she wait till you get home?
I don't know, but you know,
yeah,
like,
but why would you, so did you eventually tell your daughter yes?
Yes, I told her yes. She could let her try it to see if
all right,
it
so
worked,
she chose.
You know?
So you get home and she has a speaker.
Yes.
All right. And then what happens?
I went to her door, I knocked, and I asked her, you know, like, can you, the speakers be returned? She was like, well, Wilda, I like the speakers. Can you leave the speakers with me, you know, like, and I will give you back the money, you know, like, for you could go purchase another one for yourself.
Why would you say yes to that? Why don't you just say no, give me my speakers, here's where I bought them, go buy them yourself.
Yeah, that's what I told her that.
No, why don't you insist upon it?
Because she said she's going to give me my money.
Why would you say yes? It causes you more work. You're a working woman with children. Why would you say yes to that?
Because I was convinced by my daughter that she was a nice lady.
What difference does it make? She's a nice lady. She's got two pair of legs. Look at the heels she's got on. She can walk down two blocks.
I know.
So there's something I'm missing here, and I don't know what it is.
Well, it was my daughter that convinced me.
Stop blaming it on your 12-year-old daughter, for the love of all that's holy. You're a grown woman. Mm-hmm. So you decide to go ahead and leave the speakers there for some reason I can't fathom. Mm-hmm. She's supposed to pay you $60. Yeah. She never pays you.
No.
Okay, why didn't she pay you? Did you guys have a problem? Put your hand down. I'll get to you. When I get to you, what do you not know how court works? First the plaintiff speaks, and then you respond.
Right.
You don't get to,
yell at me.
Bobblehead the whole time and raise your hand like you're...
You don't have to yell at me.
Go. No, I do have to yell at you because I've watched you do it 12 times.
All right.
So yeah, I have to yell at you. Got it?
All right.
Do you understand me?
Okay.
Not to interrupt anymore? Do you understand me?
I answer, but I even say nothing.
Do you understand? I need you to answer the question I'm asking you. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no? I can't hear you. All right, so now when she's owing you the money and she doesn't give it to you, what do you do?
Okay, I sent her a Facebook message, like several messages. She never replied. Then...
Do you have the Facebook messages?
Yes.
May I see them? Go on.
She never replied. That second message I sent to her where I've told her if she do not have the money, she could either return the speakers or... You know, like,
all right, how much time passes before you call the cops?
That happens on the 7th. She said she was going to give me the money.
Seventh
I called the police
what?
On the 8th.
All right. So what made you decide to call the cops one day later?
Because when I asked her for the speaker that afternoon, she did not give it to me that evening. She had two other neighbor came to my door, you know, like wanted to fight and argue.
Wait, fight about what?
No,
about
I gave
what?
Her this. I gave her. She said I treated her bad. You
How
know,
did
like,
you? She thinks.
I've spoken to her like harsh, you know, like meant to just give me my speaker or the money.
Stop. Let me hear your response to that.
Okay, first I'm gonna start off by saying me and Wilda was good friends. She's a bit older than me, so I respected her as a mother. By far, what she said is completely a lie.
Okay.
What happened was, one day, I came home and I heard music coming from her door. Now, we've been planning on, like, getting music, you know, a radio. Both of us been planning, like, everybody in the building been planning on getting music because it's boring in the building. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a radio, but I need to find out where to get a radio from.
When you say radio, you mean the speakers?
Yes, I mean the speaker because it's a radio attached to it. That's why I call it a radio.
Okay.
So one day I came in late. It was during the evening time, and I heard the music coming from her door. So I'm like, okay, she jamming. You know, that's my friend at the time. So I said, you know what? Let me get my kids situated. And I'm gonna go knock on her door. I knocked on her door, and at the time her door was unlocked, so after we was very good friends where we could actually knock, she like, come in, I'll walk right in. So I walked in. At the time her kids was playing, she was there. I said, where did you get that speaker from? She like, oh, I got it up the block. I said, can you do me a favor? She was like, yeah. I said, when you get a chance, can you price tag it for me? Let me know how much it costs, and I'm gonna go with you to get it, or I'll give you the money so you can go get it for me. That was the agreement.
Why don't you just ask her where she got it and go get it?
Because the store she go to is usually her friends. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
like, they know
you
her.
Gotta do it underground because the guy's
you,
doing
you
what?
Know what?
Stealing
I mean, they got
it? Or?
Friends. You never know. He might give me a discount because I'm her friend, stuff like that. Anyway, make a long story short, she was like, all right, when I price tag it, I'll let you know. So I said, okay. I didn't stay long in her apartment. I left. I didn't leave with no speaker, nothing.
When did you get the speaker?
About like a week later, but I'm gonna explain to you how I got it.
How did you get the speaker?
How did I get the speaker? It was one day, she had to run to the same store that she go to purchase a certain item. I'm not gonna say her business, that's not what I do.
But
she went to go see her friend to purchase something, and she wound up going to the same place where the speaker was at. I wanted the same speaker she had. The plan was for her to go get it.
Okay, but I need you to be more succinct, because you're like all over the... I need you to get to the point a little...
That's what I'm saying. She called one of our mutual friends.
But see, my original question was, when did you get the speaker? And you're still telling me
stuff. The next day around like 11 o'clock
a.m. Okay, and how did you get the speaker? Did you get her old
speaker? She knocked on my door.
Just a second. Did you get her old speaker or the new speaker?
She brought a speaker. She showed up at my door the next morning.
Okay, with a speaker.
With the speaker in the bag
and
the box.
And then you had agreed to pay $60.
Why I'm paying $60 when I never agreed to pay her anything? I have my own money to go get it.
What difference does it make?
It makes a big difference.
Why? No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
You're not going to keep yelling at me.
All you got to do is
not what you're
doing.
Don't
take the speaker if you don't want it. Why did you take the speaker?
I said, why did you buy the speaker? She was like, oh, Katia, I didn't want you to be upset because I didn't get the speaker for you. I said, but I wanted to get it myself.
Okay, so then you told her, take the speaker back because I want to get it myself.
She said, no, keep it. Okay. We stopped talking.
So then you took it.
Yes.
Okay, you see, stop a moment and use your brain. So then when you took it, you said, oh, okay, I'll take the speaker. It doesn't occur to you that $60 has to go that way if you took the speaker this way?
No. Why am I paying $60 for something that I never told her to buy in the first place for me when we had an agreement that I was going to go?
Why don't you just...
Because
what really happened? Did she smack
me.
Talk about you or something?
Huh? Yeah, that's how we stopped talking.
So
well,
the reason you didn't pay the $60 is because she was saying what about you?
No.
What was she
it's
saying about
that.
You?
Because I tried to give the speaker back twice.
What is was she saying about you?
Well, the girls were saying that. She was saying that I'm trying to be like Nicki Minaj. Little corny stuff. You feel me?
Like, but what? But what does that mean?
A little corny stuff. You know the artist, Nicki Minaj. I guess
I know the artist, Nicki Minaj. But what was she...
I dress like this.
Okay.
I always have my nails, my stuff. I always look different. You understand what I'm saying? That's my idol. Yes, I do look up to Nicki Minaj, but I'm not going to try to be somebody I'm not. Well,
okay, but hold on. What did she say that offended you? Because obviously it's flattering to tell you that. What was so bad about saying that you look like Nicki Minaj?
She was just saying stuff about my kids. It was just stuff that they was just saying.
What were you
saying? I brought it to her attention. And she said she didn't say it, so I left it at that.
What were you saying?
I only said I was afraid of being around her because of the way she dealt with her children. I don't want to be a part of anything.
How does she deal with her children?
You know, she's very rough with them. You know, it's like she's rough with them. And I don't want, you know, if something were to happen for me to be a bystander.
So that's what she heard.
Yes.
And then when she heard that.
She was upset.
Then she was upset. And then all of a sudden you don't get your $60.
No, I was not upset because I still went to her and tried to talk to her.
Where are the speakers?
Well, ask her because when I was in the hospital, I just got from the hospital yesterday. I'm even supposed to be here right now. Okay, when I got home, the speaker was gone. So technically, I don't owe anything.
Last night?
When I got home last night.
When you got home last night. Okay, you need to take it down a notch. Take it down a notch.
Listen.
When you got home. No, you need to take it down a notch. You're in court. You can't just
like. All right, and I understand
that. Like we're in the street and stuff.
But the same way you can raise your voice, I could do the same.
No, you can't. And let me explain to you why. Not because I'm better than you, but because I'm wearing a black robe. And I have to manage what. What's going on here? Get out of my courtroom. Get out.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Harvey Levin here. So, can a judge consider a litigant's attitude in court in deciding who should win, who should lose?
Definitely. It shows their personality and it shows if they did something wrong, then, you know, that attitude probably played a role in it.
But then, isn't it possible somebody could be a jerk and right?
I don't think so, because if they're being horrible in court, then they may have something to hide, so they may be covering up for it.
Fair enough. What do you think?
I don't think the attitude should play in. I think the facts of the case should determine their judgment.
Okay, so I thought I'd just give everybody an aside here. Can everybody smell the marijuana that somebody's smoking behind there? Okay, I just wondered. Going inside the courtroom.
Did you steal her speakers?
No, ma'am.
Just go right to the left of it.
She says they're missing last night.
Right to the left.
Last night she went in into with an ambulance. I don't have the keys to her apartment. I live in where we live at. There is security. There is cameras all over. You understand?
Okay. Let me talk to your daughter. Come on up. Right there where you are, sweetie. How old are you?
12.
You're tall. Are you tall for 12? Yeah. Oh, God bless you. I wish I was tall. relax. I'm just going to ask you a few questions. All right. Number one, do you know whether her speakers ended up at your house?
It did not end up at our house because her speakers did not go missing yesterday. It went missing 2 days prior from today. And
how do you know that?
Because when she was downstairs, she talks to some ladies in the building and she's like, oh, somebody stole my speakers. I just walked out. I was going to
school.
Was
she in the hospital yesterday? She was in the hospital.
She was in the hospital yesterday, but that was 2 days. That was the day when she had said that her speakers went missing.
So according to you, she was talking about missing speakers before the hospital.
Yes.
Before
the All right. Well, maybe somebody else stole them. In any event, why are you suing for $3,000 for harassment? You can sit down, sweetie.
Well, I have police report where she called CPS on me, made false allegations.
She called CPS on you after the speaker problem?
Yes.
You
know, like, made false allegations, you know, I mean, the harassment never stopped. From the day I filed for the court, since then, this is when I've known hell. So this is why I filed.
Can I ask you a question? Are you able to relocate or no?
Not at this moment, ma'am. I've asked for it.
Because you got to have peace where you live, you know? I mean, that's the least thing we could provide for our children and ourselves.
I'm ordering the defendant to pay the plaintiff the $60 for the speakers. I'm not going to order her to pay you $3,000 for harassment. I am going to order her to pay you your court costs in coming to court. Okay. And I'm going to order her to pay you prejudgment statutory interest on the $60 from the time that it was owed. And I find that it was owed from the day that it was given on April 7th. I would strongly suggest that you have as little to do with that nut as possible. Okay? Because if this is how she acts in a court of law, I can only imagine how she is acting next door to you. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's my verdict. Good luck, folks.
Thank you.
Well, the plaintiff wins this case. The defendant couldn't even make it to the end, right here. So the plaintiff's out here in the hallway. Turn around. What's your smile about?
Well, I'm thankful the judge ruled, you know, and gave me what I needed.
Well, you got the $60 for the speakers, but you didn't get the $3,000.
It's okay. It's okay. At least I have my $60 back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why would you give her the speakers in the first place?
Because my daughter convinced me that she was a nice lady and she was just going to test the speaker and return it right back.
That nice lady on the defendant's side there? That one we're talking about? That's your neighbor now.
Yes.
You have to go home and that's still your neighbor. How's that going to work out?
I'll manage. I'll figure it out.
Harvey? I gotta say, the defendant is such an idiot. Why bother even showing up for court when all you're gonna do is antagonize the judge? And that will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, Travis Davis. He says he donated his car to the defendant's charity and he towed it to his yard. He told the defendant he had to get permission from his parole officer to remove a device permit that showed he was sober before the car would start. 3 weeks later, he got the permission, but for some unknown reason, the defendant had the car crushed. Now he owes the Intoxalock company $3,200 for the device, and he's suing the defendant for it because it's his fault it was destroyed. This is the defendant, James Turner. He says he owns a towing company, and he tows cars for nonprofits that donate cars to charities. The plaintiff is responsible for taking his belongings out of the car before it's towed, and before he turns the title over to him, which the plaintiff did. He's sorry his property was destroyed, but he did nothing illegal and isn't financially responsible for the plaintiff's carelessness. He's accused of crushing it.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case in the docket, the plaintiff donated his car to the defendant's charity. Turns out the guy just got out of jail, had an Intoxalock device installed, and the defendant smashed the car up before he could get it out. The defendant says it's the plaintiff's own fault. It's the case of, I got a crush on you.
Thank you, Douglas. Travis Davis, you are suing James Turner, doing business as Donation Vehicle Program. For $3,200, a price that you say it will cost to replace a breathalyzer that was destroyed along with your donated car.
Yes,
what happened? Why are you getting rid of the car to begin with?
Because it broke down.
Okay, what year car was this?
A 95,
what?
Toyota Tercel.
Okay, and so you were getting rid of it because it was broken down?
Yes.
All right, but in the Toyota Tercel, there was a breathalyzer?
Yes.
Why?
Because back in June is whenever I got DWI.
Okay, was that your first DWI?
Yes.
All right, and as a result of your first DWI, they made you install a breathalyzer in your car?
Yes, because I crashed.
Did you crash into somebody else?
Yes.
Did you hurt somebody else?
No, it was the back of a tractor trailer.
Is there a human inside?
No, but the driver wasn't injured.
Okay, that's a driver. There was a human inside.
Yeah.
All right, so because of the crash, then, according to you, they made you put in a breathalyzer. Now, a breathalyzer is a device that attaches to the steering wheel?
Or the ignition? Ignition.
And you have to blow into it, and if your alcohol is above a certain level, the car will not start.
If you have any alcohol at all, it will not start.
Any alcohol at all?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Now, you can actually get this on the market for a lot cheaper than $3,200, but this particular one is tied into your probation officer.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a Mac Daddy one. So what happened? Why did you donate the car in such a hurry before you had removed the breathalyzer?
Well, it took me for a while to try to get this device taken out.
How do you get the device taken out?
I had to first get authorization from my probation officer, And then once she gets the okay, she'll send the email to the company so they can give out a deinstall notice.
What company?
The Tox Lock company.
Okay. And you can't put in for it until it's out of your name?
Yes. I have emails from...
This is wild. Who's the person who picked up the car? It's
it
not
wasn't
you, right?
Him personally.
It's not me, no.
Okay, you're in charge?
Yes.
All right. The person who picked up the car is not here?
No.
All right. Did you ever talk to the person who picked up the car to find out if it, you say that you told that person, don't destroy the car yet, I got to get something out of it?
Well, I called first and I called
What do you mean you called first?
Before I even gave him anything with the car title or anything, I called him, explained to him.
Called who?
Pretty sure it was him on the phone.
Who answers the phone there?
I do most of the time.
All right. So he says he spoke to somebody beforehand and said, can we do it this way?
If that conversation occurred, we would have told him he has to take it out before we pick up the car, because once we pick up the car.
All right. So then, according to you, you told the tow driver the same thing or no? The tow driver just came and towed.
I told him too. I confirmed him.
Okay. What does your business make out of this?
We are a for-profit company that works exclusively for nonprofits.
Right.
The reality of the situation is...
Do they pay you per car?
The money from the sale goes to the nonprofit. They pay us for towing them and for selling them.
Well, how much do they pay you for selling them?
I don't want to say on national
but
TV.
They have to end up with money in the end.
They
or there
end
would
up
be
with
no
money
business.
In the end,
all
yes.
Right, all right, all right.
There's different situations for different charities.
What charity do you work for? Or many?
I work for many.
Okay. So when's the first time you talked to him?
I believe the first time I spoke to him was when he called to initially donate the car, which was on February 9th.
Oh, you think you're the one who talked to him?
Yes.
All right. And did he tell you anything about the breathalyzer?
No.
Okay. And then after the car was towed, did you talk to him?
We picked up the car 2 days later on the 11th. I did not hear from Mr. Davis until the 16th, which was 5 days later.
And what
at which point he told me that he did have a breathalyzer in the car.
I mean, what do you think? The guy forgot he had a breathalyzer?
The car.
Because he has this little problem where they won't take it out of his name until it's, and then they can't take it out until it's out of his name. And no one stops and says, no. You know, like after listening to him, I no longer think he's just a complete idiot who forgot he had an intoxilizer in there. He's explained the problem. The problem makes sense. And, you know, it's hard for me to think that he didn't tell people beforehand.
I think there's a big time gap there that you're not aware of.
Right. Because you're saying he told us afterwards and we'd already crunched a car. But he's saying he told you before and that's the whole case,
no,
right?
No, what I'm saying is I think the car broke down and was sitting broke down for several months.
Sure.
Before
yeah.
he actually
so
made
what?
The call.
Right, but so what? Like, what is that?
I think he forgot that it was in the car. He donates the car.
Oh, so you feel like the time... You think the guy on probation forgets that there's an intoxilizer in there? What ended up
if
happening
you're not
to
using
the
it
car,
every day,
by the way?
I think so.
What happened to the car?
Well, for better term, we recycled it.
Salvage.
Which means it went to a junkyard.
So does it make sense that the plaintiff would have just forgotten that he had this Intoxilock device in the car?
I don't think so at all. I think he was aware of it.
Does it make sense? Isn't it an Intoxilock device the key to his freedom?
Yeah, it is. He needs to have that.
Do you think it's something he would really forget?
Definitely not.
Doesn't seem like it.
Doesn't seem like it.
But we will see. Going inside the courtroom.
Show me the proof of when the thing was crunched or salvaged or...
I don't have proof of that.
Wouldn't that be something you'd bring?
Well, we...
Show me the proof that it cost $3,200. What doesn't make sense is to accept the car. That's what doesn't make sense, because under those circumstances with this whole, like, no, we're not going to... I mean, unless you say, yeah, we're going to hold it, no skin off our nose, and then somebody forgot to hold it because somebody wasn't doing their job. What is this?
Oh, that's the payments that I paid... the company to pay back their money.
Okay, but I don't get it. When it gets installed, are you supposed to be renting it or buying it?
It's a lease. So pretty much I pay for the installation of it and I had to pay.
Okay,
like
why does it have on 3/4, when was the car towed?
February 11th.
So on 3/4, I guess the story gets back, you explain it to Intoxilock.
That's whenever I found out that the car has been crushed, Your Honor.
Why don't you just keep it on your property, transfer the title and keep it on your property for Intoxilock to come and then have them tow it later?
They wouldn't do that.
Why not? What proof do you have that they wouldn't do that?
Well, I don't have none, just except for a witness statement.
What's a witness statement? Who's it from?
My girlfriend.
How do you know it's him, he who made the agreement with you?
Well,
how does she? She claims that you made the agreement with him.
Your Honor, I did make the agreement with him on February 16th.
Yeah, no, she's talking about February 10th. Wow. Out of curiosity, is there paperwork on the transaction?
Yes.
May I see it?
I don't have that with me, Your Honor.
Okay, now that's it. Now I'm ready to rule without even the slightest amount of remorse. There is no way that you walk in here as the owner of a company and bring me zero unless the stuff that you chose not to bring to court today is not in your favor. You know what happened here? This guy's in a quandary. He can't do one until he does the other. He can't do the other until he does the one. There's no question in my mind that this is foremost on his head. And I think you just saved the wrong car. It's just that simple. You thought you were saving the right car, just like the plan was. And then it turns out you saved the wrong car. That's what happened, because there's no other explanation to not bring me anything. Nothing at all. And not bring me the witness. Because that guy works for you. So you could have brought me him, but you don't want me to cross-examine him. So it's just, there's just one too many strikes here. And this is not a criminal case where he has to prove this beyond and to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt. He just has to prove to me that it's more likely than not his story rather than yours, and I'm buying his story. I can't believe how expensive this thing is. But it is what it is. This is the bill from them, and they make money. So I'm finding in favor of the plaintiff in the amount of $3,127.65. Good luck, folks.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So the loser out here, the defendant steps in here, and you didn't bring any evidence why?
All it is a pickup form saying that the car was picked up, that the car was donated.
That's what it is, and you didn't bring it. Why?
There's no relevance to the case.
No relevance, and that's why you lost, right?
That's why I lost.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right down this way.
Right this way?
So you come on in here and you think that's what happened? He crushed the wrong car?
Yeah, crushed the wrong car and he's tried to get out of it. So,
mm-hmm. What about this donation to the car charity deal there? What are these things?
Pretty much like cars for kids, something like that.
Is it a good deal for the donator?
I got like $500 for a tax return.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better than just having a crappy car.
That's what you get out of it?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Harvey?
I got to tell you something. If you have critical evidence, paperwork that you should have brought to court, you don't bring it to court, the judge is probably going to decide that you're hiding something. And that will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, Danielle White. She says the defendants, her former landlords, refused to return her hard-earned security deposit, even though she left the place as she found it and damaged nothing. They have some nerve trying to steal her money. She's not going to allow them to get away with it and is suing for the $350 she's owed. These are the defendants, Antonio and Jackie Forrest. Antonio says the plaintiff vacated the apartment late, and he has every right keeping her security to cover the month of rent he should have gotten. Now they've decided to go after her for additional damages because she broke things in the unit. They have every right to have them repaired, and that's just what they're going to do. They're accused of lousy landlording. The defendants have filed a countersuit for $1,786.50 for repairs.
All parties, please raise your right hand.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case in the docket, the plaintiff says her landlords or the defendants are total crooks for keeping her security. But the defendants say the plaintiff left late and didn't pay full rent and she broke stuff. It's the case of what have you done for me lately?
For you, Honor.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Danielle White, you are suing Antonio Forrest and Jackie Forrest, your former landlords, for $350 in security deposit that you feel they have wrongfully withheld. You are counterclaiming against her $1,786 in damages and rent. Tell me what happened here.
Well, Your Honor, on November 10th, 2014, I submitted to Mr. Forrest my intent to vacate the residence, giving him 30 days notice according to our original rent agreement.
Was your payment due on the 10th of every month?
No. It was due on the 1st of every month.
All right.
So I was giving him 30 days notice, and I said in the notice that I would pay him prorated rent for the 10 days that I would be there fulfilling the 30 days notice to vacate. On the evening of the 11th of November, as I was coming in, Mr. Forrest met me and he said that he didn't want to accept prorated rent and that he just wanted me to be out by the 1st. So
I agreed. Most people out on the 30th, that way it can be rented from the 1st forward. According to the law, it goes, the 30 days start to run from the day your payment's due. In other words, you can't all of a sudden on the 28th of November say, I'm moving out on the 28th of December. Your decision has to coincide with your rental period. According to you, he says, get out on December 1st. And according to you, you say what?
I told her that I do not accept no prorated rent. And Danielle said to me, well, what I got, you expect for me to pay the whole thing? I told her, yes, I expect for you to pay the whole thing if you're going to be here. Then I told her when she paid her rent that that would have been a time for her to give me her 30-day notice, and then she could have been out of there before the 1st.
Right.
And she just looked at me and said, well, okay, and walked off. And
okay, but then did you both decide she'd move out by the 1st?
No.
What was the agreement then that she would leave when?
She never said. She for that, no, she was sticking with this.
All right. And then according to you, you sent him a second letter. How'd you send it?
I sent it return receipt.
Okay. Was there a second letter that she sent you?
No.
You never got a second letter?
No, I didn't.
And did you get a return receipt?
What I got was that where he refused it, but a week later, I handed him a copy of the second letter.
Let me see the paper.
Okay.
Do you have any evidence that he agreed for you to leave either by the 1st or on the 1st?
Well, this basically recounted the conversation because he accepted prorated rent when
right.
I moved
and
in.
And he's saying that you've made that up for court, that he never got a second letter from you. But you show that they refused it, so show me that. When did you move out?
I moved out December 1st.
This wasn't even sent until November 18th.
I hand-delivered it. I hand-delivered a second copy to him.
Can you prove that?
Well, I can't prove that I handed him another copy because when I didn't get the receipt back.
All right, so how do you find out she's moving, according to you?
I found out that she was going to be moving with this right there. That she
okay, didn't. Let's see what that is. That might be exactly what we're talking about. No. All right, that's the first letter. Well, my question is, once you said to her, no, you can't stay part of December, how do you find out that she was leaving December 1st, which is what she ended up doing? You get a phone call from her, you watch her do it, because she lived in a cottage behind your house, right?
I watched her move out November 1st.
November 1st?
I mean, 31st, I meant to say, but I seen her.
There is no November 31st.
Yes. No. I mean, November 30th, I seen her moving out. And then so I go there the next day and go in my place and she was still there. And then that's when we had another little confrontation.
Had you folks all gotten along before this point or no?
Yes.
Everything had been fine?
Fine.
So why did everything get so contentious? Because I saw her video that she took of you guys doing the walkthrough
and
how did everything go so badly?
Because of her deposit that she was demanding right then and there.
You don't
time.
Have a right to get it right then and there. If you keep quoting the law, so you know darn well you don't have a right to get it on the spot. Did you speak to a lawyer or you went on the internet?
I went on the internet for that.
Yeah,
letter,
nowadays
yes.
There's no excuse for not knowing what the deal is, other than bad information
right.
on the internet. But in any event, so according to you, there's a bunch of damages. You're keeping it for rent for December. She was still there December 1st. Her rent is $550
a month.
So you're charging late fees from now until eternity. And what was the damages that you say she did?
She damaged the bowl that go in the toilet. It was cracked. That's why all the water was on my floor. And, you know, I got video of me stepping, showing all the water there.
Let me see the video of the damages that you say she did. I watched the video of that you took. It's basically a lot of you guys yelling at each other, which was fun, don't get me wrong. But probative it wasn't. Oh, that's her video.
That should be my video.
So your video was taken with her also?
Yeah.
So you're
yes.
both
together,
videos.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why. Yeah, he's got that right. Okay, where do I get the actual damages?
Yes,
to your car?
Yes.
What was the damage to your car?
It's on there. She had a dent.
And did you see her do it?
No, I didn't see her do it. As I was coming from back there, I see her coming from my car, getting in her car. But she have these weights. She have that. And she had one of them, a white one, in her hand coming from my car, so.
That's not on video, though.
No, because
what are all these holes in the wall?
Those are pinholes from.
But why are there 40 of them? And each, you can't just get it right the first time? And they're in weird places, too, like over the door. Now we're really just getting silly. Is there some real damage you're going to show me? I see the water, the problem with the toilet. I see that. Can you show me a receipt for fixing that?
Well, I got an estimate saying, yeah, to how much it charged me to fix
okay.
it.
Okay, let me see that. Okay, according to you, what's the water that's there?
I had just mopped.
Somebody's got to teach you how to clean a toilet room. Remove and replace drain in the bathtub. What was wrong with that?
She broke that. And then normally, you press down the locket. Somehow, she got it. Loose.
Yeah, you don't have a picture of what you're talking about because really right now all I have is your handyman writing something and I have water on the floor that could be from mopping, I don't know. The damage to the dresser door is in the video and the damage is on the inside, you're saying it's stained. Do you how old are those pieces?
Well, I only had them for a year. They come from my uncle who.
So they were used?
Yeah, they were used.
Okay, do you have pictures of them when you got them so that I can see that whatever discoloration was done during her tenancy and by some negligence of hers as opposed to that they
no,
came
I,
that way?
No, I don't.
Okay, now let's talk about the satellite dish. Did you install a satellite dish?
With his permission, I asked permission.
Do you have proof that you have his permission?
No, I don't.
Okay, but did you guys get permission for her to install a satellite dish?
No, I didn't.
Did you see in the year that she lived there that she had a satellite dish?
Yes. And
did you ever say to her, what do you think you're doing? You can't put a satellite dish on my property?
Yes.
And what did she do?
Well, she promised me that when she moved, that she will remove it.
Did she take the dish?
No.
She left it behind?
Yes, she left it behind. And I called the people myself. They don't remove it. I have to have it removed. That
okay.
I can remove it.
So where is the estimate for having it removed?
You need an estimate for that.
But when are you going to talk? Why are you leaving him out to dry? You guys have to have proof. If you want to claim against her $1,800, do you ever watch People's Court?
Yes, he watches you every morning.
Okay, so if you watch me every morning, you know the first questions I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
You know I'm going to tell you, substantiate what you're talking about here. Mm-hmm. All right. Did you damage their car?
No, I did not.
It says you had a dumbbell in your hand.
I removed my dumbbell.
You sounded really mad.
I was angry, yes. I was angry because 9:30 that morning was when he was banging on the door and he refused to leave. He said he was coming to take my stuff out.
So who takes advantage of who more generally? Landlords or tenants?
I think the landlord does.
Why?
Because this is property, he owns it. He can dictate anything that happens.
Fair point that he has more power, I suppose. What do you think?
Yeah, well, as a tenant myself, I try to really milk everything I can from the landlord. So in my case, and I'm a fighter, so I think tenants definitely take more advantage of landlords.
I love you. No, I love your honesty. That was awesome. We're going to stop right there, going inside the courtroom.
The law is that if you're there on the first, you have now tacked on another month to your tenancy. It's not 11:59 on the first. It's 11:59 on the 30th of November. It's the day before, whatever that day is, before the new tenancy would begin. Now, I don't think anybody moved in there on the first of the month.
No.
No, when did you get a tenant?
I haven't gotten it.
You still don't have a tenant there?
No.
You don't want to rent it out anymore? That's it?
That's
what do
it.
You use it for now?
Family.
Family room. We don't. That's all. That's what it was before. That's just family room.
I got it. Okay, here's the deal. Based on what I've heard, I'm going to allow the defendants to keep the $350 security deposit, and on your cross claims, I find zero for you, and I find that they're entitled to an additional, as unfair as that may seem to you, that's the law, my hands are tied, they're entitled to an additional $200 for the $550 rent. I am not going to order her to pay late fees and everything else. She thought she was right. I'm ordering the plaintiff to pay the defendant net judgment of $200 additional dollars for December rent, and that's it. That's my verdict. Good luck, folks.
Well, the landlord will keep the security deposit, get a little bit more, too. What's your reaction to the judge's verdict?
Well, obviously, when I did my internet search, I did not know that that meant that the 30 days was not from November 10th to December 10th.
Things first of the month means you have to pay the whole month.
I understand that now, but when I moved in, I paid prorated rent because I moved in on June 15th. So
yeah, but the law is the law.
True.
All right. And so you've learned.
And I've learned, yes.
The hard way. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, sir, so come on in here and step right next to me here. And what's your feeling on the outcome here?
I think it's fair. I'm just glad that it's over.
You get your December, but you didn't get all those other charges that you wanted.
No, I didn't. I didn't get the receipts and stuff that I needed, so.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, so you're a pretty tough landlord. If you're there on the first, you're paying for that whole month, right?
That's right.
Nice. Harvey?
So that's the danger, Kurt, when a tenant sues a landlord, that the landlord can always countersue for additional damages beyond the security. So basically, you're rolling the dice. If you sue for your security, you really have to have a solid case, because if you don't, it could ultimately end up to bite you, and the landlord could get more money from you than you are owed from the landlord.